the way he would be proud to be here and see it going on. So, it's a little after 8. Any comments? Yes?
Parish Prabhupada organized the governing body commission before he left to arrange society. I'm just wondering, Bhaktisthana Maharaj.
Who?
Bhaktisthana Maharaj. Did he actually want someone to be in charge or left?
My understanding is that he also wanted a governing body commission. I think someone here can document that, but I think it's in this book. He proposed that, and it didn't happen. That's my understanding. I think that's documented somewhere. Yes, I'm seeing some nods. So yeah, that's true.
But he didn't organize it as such.
He did try, but apparently the followers weren't able to do it. And he, according to what Prabhupada has told us, was a bit disgusted with the fact that they were unable to work together, and they were all going off in different directions, suing one another. Starting different temples and mosques and so on. Whereas when Prabhupada was in his last days, he was very encouraged by the state of things, by his followers. That's what I understand. Although I wasn't there, but that's what people told me. Yeah, you want to say something? Someone else had their hand up. Yeah.
Maharaj, what about the point that, I think it was the fifth point in the seven purposes, to establish a place of
pilgrimage.
Does that refer to mindfulness? Does that refer to this one?
It's hard to say what it refers to. Some people say it referred to New Vrindavan. Some people say it referred to Mayapur. Some people say it refers to all the temples. It says to direct four members of a holy place of transcendental pastimes. And the place that's most ambitious at the moment is definitely Mayapur. We're talking hundreds of millions of dollars. And it's a big project, and it's underway. It's planned. There's people raising the money for it, so it could be that will emerge as the main one. Although, the way things are today, people like to have a kind of a holy tirtha in their own country. So I really don't know exactly how to interpret this. Yeah.
It's interesting how Prabhupada had a very clear vision, and he wrote it down in such an early time.
Mm-hmm.
Like, it was mentioning there that in the League of Devotees there was a mission statement, whatever you call it. And when he started ISKCON, that was the same.
Mm.
Prabhupada didn't sort of change his mind in a few minutes or
something
like that. It was like, he had a very clear idea.
It seems that he had that clear idea before he left India, and then even after, because he wanted the very same principles used in England and in India, he stuck by them. And they're used in many other countries and have become the basis of ISKCON. And they are unique in the sense that, like you use the word mission statement, or the phrase mission statement, and this is very important. Just like we, every day we say Chaitanya Dharma Maharaj, and we memorize it. These points are also very important. Probably equally as important to memorize that Prabhupada did have a vision. There was Lord Chaitanya and his Shikshastakam, and there was Prabhupada, who was his most advanced follower, who gave these points. And in other words, it's sort of really taking Lord Chaitanya's mission and putting in the context of today's world. And it's withstood the test of time for over 35 years. It's worked, and we still can meditate on things like this, publish and distribute periodicals, magazines, and books. Nobody else is doing anything like Prabhupada. Bring members closer together, teaching a simpler, more natural way of life. So important. Everybody is looking for a more natural, a simpler way of life. And it's just a great slogan, a more natural way of life. It's what everyone wants. I mean, people will actually say they want a more natural way of life. Well, here's how to do it. Teach and encourage a Sankirtan movement. Bring the members closer together. Everyone wants this. The United Nations, Prabhupada was talking about. What is the United Nations? It's not. There's more nations, there's more wars, because the central core is missing. Srimad Bhagavatam and Bhagavad Gita need to be propagated. And in the Bhagavatam, Prabhupada writes that this is the answer to everybody's yearnings for peace and tranquility and happiness, Srimad Bhagavatam. And Lord Chaitanya said that's the most important thing to read every day. If we hear the Bhagavatam, it's the perfection of life. And he writes in the first canto, it's non-different from Krishna. If you read the Bhagavatam, if you revere and worship the Bhagavatam, it's the same thing as having personal association with Krishna. Those are his exact words. It's in the first canto of the Srimad Bhagavatam, second or third chapter, I don't know which, but he says that. That worshipping, adoring, reading, hearing the Srimad Bhagavatam is non-different from having personal darshan with Krishna himself.
That's probably the third chapter, because there's a verse that says Bhagavatam is incarnation.
Yeah, that's the one. That's exactly the one. That Srimad Bhagavatam is the incarnation, and in the purport Prabhupada talks about it, how it's non-different from Krishna. Yes? Come in.
So many countries now have separate incorporations of ISKCON. Is there any legal connection between all the different incorporated societies, or is it just an internal arrangement?
I would say that there is no legal connection, although the same seven principles are usually there. Right? They're in almost all of them. It's not legally. I think it's my understanding that Prabhupada didn't want them legally and financially connected. However, he did want a kind of informal. He would instruct the GVC, think of the zone, the world first and the zone second. He wanted a kind of informal camaraderie, such that, for example, when there was trouble, when the deprogramming phenomenon first broke out in America, he arranged for several. I think quite a lot. I think it was more than several. It was many life members to, on their letterheads, people who, many who were ran corporations, to write to the President of the United States, who was then Richard Nixon. And I remember, I saw this stack of letters. In fact, it was mailed to me at one point. To do something to stop this interference with the Sankirtan movement. So even though, India and America were not legally connected, Prabhupada would see that, okay, here's a problem, let's rally to it, even if we have to do it from India. And he would see that, he saw that, that this is the place to do it from, because this is the culture of the Krishna consciousness movement. It started here in India. So even though there's no legal connection, like there are with so many big corporations, they're financially very connected with their branches in other countries. It seems that Prabhupada didn't want that to be legal and financially connected legally, but to have a spirit of connection, that if there's a problem or something has to be done, like they're collecting for Mayapur in other countries and so on, that kind of thing should be done. That was my understanding. Yes?
When you read the seven purposes, and after there was a comment, the seven purposes to distribute churches. And there is a comment that the six first purposes will be accomplished.
Right.
The seven. So, would you say that was so Maharaj's understanding, or did she?
Well, I think if we take it literally, he wrote the book, and it is his understanding. Now, whether it's our understanding or not is up to us. It does make a lot of sense, though, logically, that if you distribute books, and people become interested by reading the books, that there's a society, a philosophy, and a society, then they're going to be part of it. So to me, it makes sense. I would say that it is. I mean, from my opinion, it would be true that by distributing literature, by convincing individuals that this is the proper, the best philosophy to practice, that they would want to join an organization that's promoting this philosophy. I mean, I would say so. I don't know if I'm just giving an opinion. But Prabhupada did emphasize book distribution, in many times above everything else. And he, I think, at one point cited the movement of the communist movement, which was very unconventional. But because this communist manifesto of Karl Marx was very widely printed and disseminated, that when Lenin got involved and when it came to 1917, 400 million people decided that was what they were going to live by. So I think Prabhupada cited that books, are really, really important, because if people become convinced, and that communist manifesto is also very logical. It convinced a lot of people that were into democracy that this is the way to go, because there was a lot of truth in it. And even Prabhupada himself said that that Krishna consciousness is spiritual communism. So that, there's something there. But he did stress, and he had this, when this same book distribution newsletter was coming out every week, Prabhupada was very much behind it. He liked the idea that the temples were competing, people were competing with one another. he loved that transcendental competition to get, you know, to really see that a lot of books were going out. And he just emphasized again and again in lots of different ways that this philosophy is part of propagating what he called propagating the Sankirtan movement, propagating a consciousness of Krishna as is revealed in Bhagavad Gita. How do you propagate? You just, you know, if you go out in the street and sell books, I mean, that's it. That's the essence of propagation, according to Prabhupada. And of course, there are many other ways, yes.
You're talking about how Prabhupada was wanting collective management.
How Prabhupada was?
Wanted collective management.
Collective.
Yeah. And it was also difficult for Prabhupada's disciples to understand it as well. Because in this box he says it's demon crazy and that there should be a king and things like that.
Yeah.
There's quite a famous conversation in New Vrindavan where the devotees were sort of asking Prabhupada, like, you know, who's the boss around here? Mm-hmm. Who's in charge? Is it Ketananda Swami, you know, the big sannyasi, mm-hmm. or is it Hayagriva, who's the temple president or something?
Yeah.
Who's the boss? And yeah. Prabhupada was making the point that actually, you know, you have a board, and the board makes the decision. Right. And they said, but Prabhupada, this is demon democracy, you know, he said, right. That's bad. He said, in Kali Yuga, this is the way.
Yeah. Yeah, I think if some really careful and thorough research were done to find out where Prabhupada stood on this issue of autocracy versus democracy, that, I mean, this is my opinion again, but I feel that this should be done, that one would find that Prabhupada favored democracy over autocracy, even though he did designate certain persons should be in charge. Just like in the United States, we have a president, but, you know, in a sense, he doesn't have total power like that. So that's my thought on it. It would be very interesting to see a proper research paper done on this topic. Yeah.
There's another interesting one where I think it's in the Servant of a Servant by Tamal Krishnamurti. We probably would ask the temple presidents in North America to get together and form a body to manage. And they were trying to figure out who was going to be like the king of America, who'd be the boss. And Prabhupada told them that they got it all wrong and that they should work together and, you know, work out it in a different way. Mm. But they were thinking that they had to appoint someone to be the big
person. Yeah. I mean, there's also the theory that there will be a self-effulgent acharya will arise like the phoenix out of the dust and ashes and will lead the society into its next phase. I mean, that theory is there. But such a person hasn't arisen since 1977, and there's no evidence of such a person arising in the very near future. Although it could happen, but, I mean, we have to manage at the moment. And maybe there won't be. Maybe there won't be for another 20, 30, 50 years, or maybe never.
Did Prabhupada indicate that?
I'm not aware of it. Mm-hmm. I'm not aware of it. He might have, but I don't know of it. I couldn't cite an instance. Maybe somebody else does. But it's a theory that's out there. Yes?
I heard in France several times long ago that Prabhupada said that somebody asked a question. And he said there will be many stars, but when the moon will rise, everybody will recognize him.
I don't know, but did you ever hear what he said? That, you want to speak, say a little louder?
Yes,
say it again, so everyone can hear.
The Prabhupada said that there will be several, many stars, but when the moon will rise, everybody will recognize him.
Yeah, several stars, but when the moon arises, everyone will recognize him. Kind of like Prabhupada, there was a, you know, he emerged as a singular great acharya. So the theory is that there will be another Prabhupada sometime, somewhere of that stature. That's the theory. And it may happen, I don't know. It could happen tomorrow or in 200, 300 years or never. Yeah.
Doesn't the Shastra say that there will be a Senapati, great commander in Kali Yuga? It doesn't say plural, does it? Does it say a...
No, I think it's when we want a Bhaktivinoda writing, isn't it? It's a Senapati, meaning great general to lead the way, and of course, you know, we kind of ascribe that to Prabhupada. And we kind of all consider him the guru, really, of ISKCON and our, you know, of the whole movement. I mean, it's really, I mean, he's the one who told us that the Bhagavatam is equal to Krishna. It's right there. I mean, it's there in verse, but it's also in purport. He makes it very, very unequivocal that that's what the Bhagavatam is. And so when we speak of Paramhansas and Uttama Adhikaris and Acharyas and highly the purest of the pure, the best of the best, then we generally refer to Prabhupada. I think we do. Any other comments?
Bhakti Siddhanta is body early because he had too many neophyte disciples.
Yeah, okay. Other comments or questions?
At the incorporation, when you were one of the signings of the trustees, did you have any specific duties given to you as a trustee?
No. The question was, I don't know if you heard, did I have any duties as a trustee when I signed, and I didn't. I just thought, as Satsri Das mentioned, that it was... Satsri Goswami, that it was just kind of a formality, a way of... and I didn't really understand anything about the vision of it or the importance of it. I just thought, got to sign it, it's a document. American society is so full of legalities and documents that it was just another thing to sign for me. I didn't have any idea what the vision was or what I was doing. And later on, Prabhupada chastised me because I signed something once that I didn't read, and I shouldn't have signed. And so from that point on, I was very careful to read everything that I signed. Some devotee was trying to centralize the financing of ISKCON and wanted me to sign something. And I think so. And Prabhupada stopped it, but I had already signed it. He was kind of really laid into me for signing something that I hadn't really fully understood or read, and it wasn't proper. So I was very careful after that to not sign anything unless I really understood what it meant. Okay. Any others? Comments?
The fact that there was three each year, was that just a legality or was it proper?
Well, it's hard to say why there were three to sign each in different years. And it could be that Prabhupada didn't trust any of the nine to be the sole proprietors for a three-year period. It could have just been a legal thing. It seemed that Prabhupada was very cautious. And my feeling is that he just kind of thought, well, whatever works, you know. And I don't think he trusted any of the three to be designated as the three-year period trustees. I really don't think he did. And he proved to be right because they all were very solid devotees doing this stuff. Yeah. Any others? Prabhupada ki jai.